Why would you worry about tomorrow when the Lord's mercies are new every morning? Worry is a powerful force. It can steal your joy. It can rob you of contentment. The Lord forbids that. Your future is in His hands. Your future is completely His.
This is Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. You know about the quarantines, restrictions on travel, empty shelves in your local stores, businesses changing the way they do business, stock markets failing, and a new term, social distancing. You hear that every day. We're in a world now that is starkly different from what we're used to, and it changes more by the day. Maybe you find yourself wondering whether things will ever get back to the way they were prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. But know this, even when the world is anything but stable, you can face whatever is ahead with confidence. It's all about understanding the loving concern of your Heavenly Father and His commitment to caring for His own. The promise of peace in a worried world. That's John MacArthur's focus on this edition of Grace to You. We've preempted our regular schedule yesterday and today to bring you this special message that John preached just a few days ago. And with that, I invite you to follow along now with John MacArthur.
I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34 of Matthew 6. Listen to what our Lord Jesus said. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Three times in that passage, Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. And here He gives us three reasons, and I think they're very helpful. Don't worry because of your Father, who your Father is. Don't worry because of your family, those to whom you belong. And don't worry because of your future. This is a wonderfully rich portion of Scripture, and we could spend many weeks on it. I decided to kind of condense it for this time, but let's begin where our Lord begins. Anxiety, first of all, is absolutely foolish if you belong to the Lord because you have a heavenly Father. Look, life is a gift from God, right? If God gives life, He sustains life. He gives life, He sustains life. As long as He has destined to give it, He will sustain it. He gave you life in order to sustain that life for His own purposes. And when there is even the most meager threat that something might be lost or you might be deprived, you must remember that God gave you life, and the fullness of that life, as you walk in obedience to Him, He will sustain, and that means He will provide all that you need. Back in the prayer earlier in chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. That's all we need to ask for. That's all we really need. But how do we get that? Luther said, God wants nothing to do with the lazy, gluttonous bellies who are neither concerned nor busy. They act as if they just had to sit and wait for God to drop a roasted goose into their mouth. God provides, but He provides by giving us the power to work and the mind to work. We have a loving Father who cares for us and has made provision for us and has filled the earth with all good things. And they are accessible to those who are diligent. So we learn our Lord's first point. No sense in worrying about your food because the Father who gave you life will give you what you need for that life to be sustained. Say no to self-indulgence. Say no to self-security. Say no to hoarding. Say yes to God's provision confidently. And then he talks also about health in verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add, literally it says, a cubit to his life, can add one cubit, 18 inches, to his life. People are literally almost obsessed in this culture with sustaining life and health. Never has there been a culture so bent on exercise for the sheer fact of exercise alone. It's not like we're exercising because we need to be healthy and strong to carve out our existence in a hard world. Everything comes easy to us now. So now we have health for the sake of health, not for the sake of anything else, or health for the sake of pride. Jesus is saying you can't worry yourself into longer life. In fact, you can worry yourself into a shorter life because worry is a sin for a believer. Worry basically says, I don't trust God to provide, and so I'm going to worry. But you're not going to worry yourself into a longer life. You're going to worry yourself into a shorter life. Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system. Nobody knows somebody who died really of overwork. Many people die of worry. God has given us life. God will sustain that life. We don't need to worry about that life. We need to be faithful to Him so that it's a full life as He has planned for us before He takes us to glory. And then the Lord even talks about clothing in verses 28 to 30 as we read. Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. And when He says the word observe, we have to take just a moment to do just that, to observe. Our Lord wants us to look at lilies, field lilies, no doubt, field lilies that, if they could be seen through a microscope, would reveal an incredible kind of texture and form and beauty and color that would exceed even the most expensive garments that would belong to the most wealthy man of the ancient world, Solomon himself, who in all his glory was not arrayed like one flower in the field. If God is going to take care of the flowers, don't you think He's going to take care of you? The sum of it is clear. God is your Father, and God takes care of those who are His own. The key statement back in verse 26, your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, like any faithful father, will feed and clothe His beloved children. To doubt that is to express the sin of unbelief. End of verse 30. You have little faith. And by the way, the Lord said that a number of times to the disciples. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 6 here in verse 30 and the parallel passage in Luke 12. You're worried about clothes, according to Luke. Again, in Matthew 8, He says, you have little faith, pointing out their fear of drowning in a storm when He was there. Matthew 14, another expression of Peter's fear and little faith. Matthew 16, the disciples continually expressing this lack of faith, this went through the whole duration, you might say, of our Lord's ministry with the disciples, that they continually demonstrated the inability to trust God for their lives. It's a sin to have a lack of faith. Not trusting God is a sin. Understand His love, understand His care, understand His power, understand His abilities, understand His promises. So it is, first of all, a sin to worry because of our Father, because of our Father. Go down to verse 31. Here's the second time He says, do not worry. It's in a different form. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. First, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Secondly, He says, don't worry because, I guess you could call it, because of your family. Let's just use that term, because of your family. You're not a heathen. The term Gentile is the key term. You're not part of the nations. You're not pagan. You're not a part of the kingdom of darkness. You're not outsiders. This is what Gentiles, and the verb is very strong, eagerly seek. They live for this. People outside the kingdom of God live for what they eat, what they drink, and what they wear. The Christless world, those who do not know God as their Father and have not come to Him to claim His provision and His promise, have reason to worry about their supply. They're on their own. Now, there's a providential provision. God allows the sun to rise and fall on the just and the unjust, and the rain the same. And God has providentially built into the world common grace by which people's lives can be sustained. And mark it, they are sustained by God. It is God who sustains the life of everything that lives, from the smallest insect to the most significant human being. They are all sustained by God in a general sense by His global providence and common grace, but they can lay no claim to deserving any provision from God by virtue of Him being their Father. In fact, those who reject the true God have created gods of their own, false gods, and thus they have violated the first commandment and are under judgment. They have no guarantee of their next breath. They have no promise of a protector, no one to care for them. They are outside God's kingdom. They're in the kingdom of darkness. They're in the kingdom of death. They should be afraid. The phrase of our Lord here is emphatic, and I mentioned it, but let me mention it again. Verse 32, the Gentiles seek, you could say, with all their energy, totally consumed in material gratification for survival. But how different are we? We are in God's family, and God assures us of a full supply of everything we need. It is shamefully wicked for a child of God to come down to the level of the heathen who don't know God. You're in God's family. We can't be like the world. Sons of the King, do not conduct themselves like the devil's beggar. So ask yourself, do I face life like a Christian, like a member of the family of God, the kingdom of light, or like a pagan? When things are difficult and a little bit unsure, how do I react? By fear or doubt? As if it all depended on me? Or do I react with joy and confidence because I know it's in God's hands? It's one thing to say you're a child of God, you belong to His kingdom. Hopefully, when life turns out to be deadly or terrifyingly fearful, that claim still holds because your trust is evident. Our Father rules the universe, all the inanimate and animate realities, and He has loaded this planet with amazing wealth, with amazing life. The most powerful thing in the temporal world is life. I'm constantly amazed at the power of life. Even a virus like this, this living virus, amazing power that you can't stop. It's a living thing. It's like the weeds that grow up in every crack in your driveway. Life is so powerful. God is the source of all of that life. All worry either assumes that God is not there, or that God does not care, or that God is there and does care but can't do anything about it because He lacks the power. He is either unaware, indifferent, or impotent. But no. Verse 32 says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And verse 33 at the end, and all these things will be added to you. He knows, which means He has the full awareness and He has the power to provide. He knows. He has the full awareness and He has the power to provide everything you need. God does care. God does know. God does provide. Worry is a sin. Verse 25, don't worry because of who your Father is. Verse 31, the second use of that same verb, don't worry because of the family you're in. You're not like the pagans, heathen outside the kingdom. And thirdly and finally, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry because of not only your Father and your family, but don't worry because of your future. And here it says, don't start worrying about tomorrow. That's literally how you would translate that form of the verb, merimnao. Don't start worrying about tomorrow. Providing for tomorrow, that's wise. Saving, that's wise. But God is the God of tomorrow just as He is the God of today. How many times have you sung, Great is Thy Faithfulness? You probably can't even recall the number of times you have sung that. But it comes basically from a text in Lamentations chapter 3 written by Jeremiah. Listen to what it says. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. Verse 23 of Lamentations 3, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. The Lord's mercies are new how often? Every morning. Why would you worry about tomorrow when the Lord's mercies are new every morning? Your future is in His hands. Your future is completely His. Back to verse 34 where we're looking now. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't push your fears into the future. God will give you strength for every new day. His mercies are new every morning. To anticipate trouble is to double it without the grace to endure it, because you're not there yet, you don't have the grace yet. To anticipate trouble is to double it, when God will allow it only singly and provide you sufficient grace for it. Fear is a liar. Fear lies to you. Fear tells you your future is not under control. That's a lie. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You've got enough trouble today. Deal with that. God will be there in the future. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't cripple the present by worrying about the future. You destroy your joy and you lose the present. So worry is a forbidden sin, incompatible with the fact that God is your Father, you're a member of His eternal family, and your future is completely cared for. Backing up to verse 33, you really have the conclusion. Seek first His kingdom. There you go. Like the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Seek His kingdom. Seek His kingdom, everything that is in reference to Him and His righteousness. Walk in obedience. Walk in righteousness. Seek His kingdom, not the things of the world. Seek to know Him, to love Him more. Seek the things that make up the kingdom. The kingdom of God is joy, peace, power in the Holy Spirit. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. And all these things shall be added. That's the one positive command in this whole passage. Three times a negative command, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. What sets worry aside, what buries it, is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Be concerned about God, His glory, His righteousness. Be concerned about being an obedient believer, trusting believer, and God will pour out heavenly blessing on you. Over in the 10th chapter of Luke, and this would be a good place maybe to wrap up our thoughts, but in Luke chapter 10, our Lord is in the house of Mary and Martha. It says in verse 38 of Luke 10, they were traveling along and He entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to His word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations and she came up to Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha," you never want the Lord to say your name twice, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You're fussing about the food. She's listening to the word. You're preoccupied with physical needs. She is consumed with spiritual nourishment. That's the best part. Why? Because man does not live by what? Bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which originally comes from Deuteronomy 8. So, you want the best part? Seek the kingdom. You want to seek the kingdom? Then sit at the feet of Jesus, as verse 39 indicates Mary did, and listen to His word. Fill up on His word. Be thankful. Be encouraged. Walk in the path of righteousness. And God will supply everything you ever need. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is a time, I think, for all of us who are believers to rise above the fray and the panic. This is a time for all of us as believers to demonstrate our trust in the Lord. Let's make sure we give honor to our Father and our family and His promises of our future.
Thanks for being here today for Grace to You as John MacArthur continued his message of encouragement in light of the current global health crisis. The title of his lesson, "The Promise of Peace in a Worried World." Again, John, it doesn't get much more timely than today's message. You preached this just a few days ago. There's an urgency to it. And with that said, what do you hope our listeners will take away from it?
Well, obviously, they'll take away the promises that God makes to his people to care for them, to meet their needs. The text actually commands believers not to worry. That's a command.
Yeah.
That's like any other command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbor as yourself, or the Ten Commandments. God commands us, in the words of our Lord himself, do not worry. And if you are worrying, stop worrying. And the reason is because you have a loving Father who cares for you. This is only for those who belong to the Lord. This is for the people of his own possession. And as believers in a time that is so fraught with the unknown and questions and fears, we as believers ought to be rock solid. This is our time to stand firm with joy, with peace, with living hope and confident trust in our Lord. That should be our testimony. If you're wavering on that, you need to get a grip on it. So let me make an offer to you that I think would make a great difference in your life. While supplies last, I'd like to send you a free copy of my book, Anxious for Nothing. This is a 200-page book. We hear from, well, through the years, tens of thousands of people who struggle with this, and this book has had an impact on countless people in that particular aspect of their spiritual struggle. Anxious for Nothing is the book. We will send it to you free of charge if you ask. And along with the book, we'll send you a free copy of the message you heard yesterday and today. We'll send you a CD on this message, The Promise of Peace in a Worried World. So request your copy of the book, Anxious for Nothing, along with the free CD of today's message.
Friend, we want to encourage you with biblical truth however we can. And this book, Anxious for Nothing, is designed to do exactly that. So request your copy of Anxious for Nothing, plus the CD of today's message. We'll send both of them to you for free. Just contact us today. Our toll-free number here, 800-55-GRACE, or request your book at our website, gty.org. Anxious for Nothing lays out the spiritual resources God has given you, not only to endure trials, but also to experience God's supernatural peace and even joy in the midst of those trials. Again, we want to send you a free copy of Anxious for Nothing while supplies last. Just call and ask for it, 800-55-GRACE. With the book, we'll also include a free CD of the new message we aired yesterday and today. It's called The Promise of Peace in a Worried World. Again, call 800-55-GRACE or go to gty.org. And thank you for telling us what these daily broadcasts mean to you. Thanks especially for praying for us. We rely on that more than you know. To let us know how God is using this listener-supported ministry in your life, write to us at Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And to request your free copy of Anxious for Nothing, call 800-55-GRACE or go to gty.org. Now for John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm Phil Johnson, encouraging you to be here tomorrow when we resume our regular schedule with an Easter series called The Crucifixion Chronicle. Don't miss the next half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.